Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning.
Hello, welcome.
As you just heard a past version of me say, this is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio at Simon Fraser University. I'm Jesse, and today I and we are broadcasting on the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples. Today on the show, a whole mixed grab bag of a bunch of talk content interspersed with music. We call that Speak Up here, and I'm just going to get right into it with a little bit of local music. This is from the newest release by The Magic Triangle called Trapo Casual. Came out on Thursday of last week. And this track is called The Great Pulsini. Enjoy.
Thank you.
the Sichuan News Update. Historians, researchers, and curious members of the public met to showcase discoveries and share historical items for an interested audience with the Nanaimo Historical Society. The Nanaimo Historical Society hosted its annual Show and Share event, allowing members and new guests to bring and share historical items of interest that may otherwise be unseen. People showcased toys passed down through generations, historical children's dance costumes that were once thought to be lost, and a bracelet made from small gold coins that date back to the 1800s. As well, people shared stories of discovering past family letters sent during World War II and working on figuring out their family tree. Gord Miller, secretary for the Nanaimo Historical Society, showcased a toy that was once played with by his father that has now been passed down to Miller's grandchildren.
What I have is a toy that my father and his brother played with in the late 1920s. It's called a Panama Pile Driver. It was first built by an American firm called Wolverine Toys. And it was a first of a whole series of kind of construction toys. And this one, basically, there are marbles in the tray, and it goes up. And until I came today, I used to work. But my father would be 102 if he was still alive. His brother was 5 years older than him. So they played with this in the late 1920s, early 1930s.
Miller explained to the group that when he was a kid, the toy was discovered by him and his siblings at their grandmother's place, where they would all play with the toy. CGY spoke with Miller about the pile driver toy after the showcase. The toy is almost 100 years old and has been at one point lent to the Nanaimo Museum to be put on display.
We had it on display in the local museum at one point for Christmas toys and whatnot, and the people there liked it, so I just thought maybe we'll give it an opportunity for me to talk about it in terms of my own connection with it.
Susan Garcia decided to share the oldest thing in her house to share at the event. This ended up being a pillowcase with embroidery work of a woman holding an American flag with the text, "The Girl of the Golden West." The Girl of the Golden West was an opera made during the start of the 1900s that was later adapted into several films throughout the 1910s to 1940s. Garcia told CHY she believes this embroidery was made at some point around the time the opera came out. She says it's important for the community to have a space to share historical items or moments.
I think it just personalizes, you know, our passions for history, right? Like we share what really attracts us, and also we get to know each other, and it just brings us closer. I think we're very cooperative in terms of, you know, little societies are quite nice little hubs of cooperation and community building, right? So I think it's so important to do that. If you're going to live somewhere, be part of the community.
She says the Show and Share is great for curious people who want to learn more about history, but also the area they live in.
But I am really curious about lots of things. And tonight, like listening to all the talks about diverse things, you realize you have a little bit in common with this one and a little more in common with that one. And, you know, there's something you're related to your family or your work or whatever, you know, so it's nice.
Elder David Lahia is a knowledge keeper for the Sinaimuc First Nations and has been a member of the Nanaimo Historical Society for 10 years now. He shared his nobility blankets with the group.
Okay, so mine's going to be going back in old history. We're going back to the Sinaimo people. We had been in the Nanaimo area here for thousands and thousands of years. And in the oldest history, we have what we called, in our language, we called it shwakwala, which means a nobility blanket. And we used to make these blankets out of the mountain goat wool. The mountain goats used to come as close as Leskidi Island, and they would set areas where they could go and harvest the wool off of them. And then our community was gifted a woolly dog.
He shared the history of the woolly dogs and how the fur from the dogs would be used for blankets.
These blankets were only made and gifted to people. We could never go out and purchase them. If we went to what we called a potlatch, we were gifted those. If we were gifted those blankets, that was ours to bring home and keep for our life. And so I had been gifted two of them over my years, and I'm now in April. I have a new one coming to me that's being made because of the work that I do within the First Nations.
Bahia shared that although woolly dogs have gone extinct, nobility blankets can still be made with regular wool.
Those dogs all went extinct once the Catholic Church came here, and that's unfortunate past the dark chapter. But we've turned the page now, and we're bringing forth. And this is part of what reconciliation is, sharing some of the past, of some of the work that had been done, sharing some of the dark things that had happened, but also sharing the good things. We're celebrating good things together as people.
After the presentation, Lahia told CHOY, it's important for sharing at events to continue to share the knowledge and history.
And this is part of what reconciliation is. If you didn't have any First Nations ever come and share, how would you ever know?
The Nanaimo Historical Society hosts monthly meetings with presentations about the history of Vancouver Island. More information on their next event can be found at the Nanaimo Historical Society website at nanaimohistoricalsociety.ca. For CTY News, this is Laura McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs podcast, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
This is a CHLY and CBOX news update. Rogers Arena was filled on Wednesday night as people of all ages and genders cheered on the visiting Professional Women's Hockey League on their takeover tour. The excitement reached the Comox Valley, where the Courtney Whalers women's hockey team celebrated seeing professional female hockey players competing on the West Coast. The Professional Women's Hockey League, or PWHL, is in its second year with six franchises between Canada and the U.S. With talks of expansion already happening, the PWHL launched its Season 2 Takeover Tour to bring women's hockey hype to new parts of the continent. Vancouver was the second stop, hosting the Toronto Scepters and Montreal Victoire in the sold-out Rogers Arena on Wednesday. Game attendance was reported at 19,038, beating the Canucks' season high of 18,940. Courtney-based recreational hockey player Megan Moore says the impact of professional women's hockey is local. Moore says that the opportunity for local girls to see a professional women's hockey game like the Vancouver match on Wednesday gives them role models to look up to.
Now that there's an end game for women in hockey, there's definitely, I think people are going to be more eager to push themselves harder and not hesitate to play more competitively and just continue to grow their own game. And from that, I think when they see women, you know, they have role models to follow, it's an opportunity to picture themselves in a similar role.
Moore, who plays goalie for the local recreational women's hockey team, the Courtney Whalers, says the impact of the professional league goes beyond description.
It's hard to really put into words. For me, it's just that community feeling and excitement and the potential growth that is there.
Moore says as soon as the PWHL takeover game was announced, she did what she could to get a group of players together to go.
As soon as they announced the Vancouver game, I'm like, I need tickets, I gotta go, and just trying to get more people to join me.
Moore was a season ticket holder for PWHL Ottawa last year and reflects on the impact the new professional league has on the hockey community.
Obviously, with the amount of hockey that I've played, I've got some different connections and talking to them and just seeing that sense of community and understanding how hard everybody's pushed for this. They've fought against the inequities from the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. And just seeing where the sport is going and how it continues to grow.
Moore says that the impact on young female players is major.
And now we have all these younger girls who are, you know, they're so excited. They have some place to look forward to play in their older years. For me, it wasn't there. And I think back to the Ottawa home opener last year where somebody was holding up a sign that said, like, if I had known this was an option, I would have trained harder.
Moore says the community needs more than passion, with hard work too.
To get excited is one thing, but there's also some work that needs to be done so that we can provide more opportunities for young girls to give it a try.
Hockey has been a lifetime passion for Moore, and she wants that opportunity for other girls and women.
I've played my entire life. I've been been told that girls don't play hockey. And even my mother, her mom said when, like my grandmother said, like, you know, you can't put Megan in to play hockey. That's a boys' sport. And my mom said, I can't keep her off the ice either. So just showing the naysayers and just keep on pushing.
Moore says the Courtney Whalers are made up of a roster of full and part-time players, and in past years, the team have been able to host drop-ins for women with no experience to lace up their skates and give it a go.
We had some very dedicated ladies who took care of organizing referees, scheduling ice times, and talking within the island community, organizing games with different teams between Victoria all the way up to Port Hardy. You can see that there is definitely demand for women's hockey on the island.
Moore says she wants to see the sport grow and encourages girls and women to give hockey a try.
We want to grow the sport. We want to provide more opportunities for women to continue playing hockey into their 60s and 70s. The more people we can get out, the better.
Moore recommends going to their Facebook group to learn more about getting involved with the Courtney Whalers. For CHLY and CVOX News, this is Heather Watson.
This report, in partnership with CVOX, was made possible with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs program, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
No matter your disability, you likely face barriers in your everyday life. At Neil Squire, we help break those barriers down by helping you access employment, technology, and the tools you need to live your life to the fullest. As a nonprofit organization, we empower people with disabilities all across Canada, and we are here for you too. Visit neilsquire.ca to learn more.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, online at cjsf.ca, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC, home of McFog the Dog.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.
My name is Catherine Benny, and I am the Communications and Operations Manager for Prince George Folk Fest Society, which every winter hosts Cold Snap Music Festival.
Thank you so much for receiving me in your downtown Prince George office within the greater office of the Downtown Prince George Development Nonprofit. Catherine, do you know when Cold Snap started?
Good quiz. So the Folk Fest Society was formed in 2003 and for a few years ran the Prince George Folk Fest, which was a summer festival, and then decided, you know what? There's a lot going on in the summers in Northern BC. Let's switch gears. So in 2008 is when the first Cold Snap was presented, and it's been presented every winter ever since, even in those early years of the 2020s that were a little dicey. But they were presented then in a safe to attend hybrid and online format. So the 18th annual Cold Snap Music Festival will run from February 5th to 9th, 2025, in venues around downtown Prince George.
Yet another happy tradition within the massive megalopolis of Prince George, BC, Calais-Lieutenay. Now, most festivals want to sell you primarily one thing and one thing only, and that is a full access festival pass. But not Cold Snap. Until this year, 2025, this is a milestone moment. Full access festival passes are for sale. Catherine, by introducing it this year, do you feel that Cold Snap has blossomed into something that it's evident that people want to experience all of this?
Mm-hmm.